The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Still alive in your bracket? You're the one, huh? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm coming to you live from the Seaport District. Remember that Honeymooners episode, Raj? When they were doing the TV commercial and the infomercial and... We are coming, this is not on tape, we're coming to you very live. Kenneth Corey Apple. Anyway, I'm coming to you very live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase.
The madness.
It's over, it's over, Oral Roberts wins.
For me, I'm glad that I get to do laundry. Tomorrow will be a good day because I have run out of clothes.
The Chicago Ramblers have upset the number one seed,
with COVID and everything, no fans and everything like that, just a special moment.
And the celebration is on for the Orange. They've advanced to the Sweet 16.
No better feeling than helping him bring him to another Sweet 16 and just shows how great he is.
The Oregon State Beavers, the latest participant, turning the Sweet 16 into a double-digit dance party.
The Westwood One NCAA Radio Network.
The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. This is Madness! 15 seed Oral Roberts reaches the Sweet 16 with yet another upset. The Golden Eagles advanced after beating 7 seed Florida 81-78. School joins Florida Gulf Coast in 2013 as the only number 15 seeds to reach the Sweet 16 in tournament history. Loyola Chicago stunned top seed Illinois. And by the way, Illinois had in the finals against Gonzaga. Illinois beat the brakes off good teams by the end of the regular season. They beat up, I mean, Michigan, they were beating teams bad. They've seeded Ramblers, led wire to wire. Cameron Crutwig, the big, scoring 19 points, grabbing 12 boards, 71-58 win. Ramblers will next play Oregon State. By the way, that Loyola team that went to the Final Four, you know, the one and dones, right? And like, no Duke, no Kentucky, but it's a tough year. COVID was a tough year for one and done. Dickie V was making this point on First Take today. Tough year for you know, powerhouses, and the way the game is played now, the powerhouse schools have all the top talent, and they're all one and done. Hard for them to get their feet wet in the tournament, basically. And the teams with seniors and players who've had experience in making runs in the tournament are really in good stead, and that includes Loyola, Chicago, probably underseeded. I mean, they were good all year, but that's a shocker to me, beating Illinois like that, leading the whole way. By the way, Syracuse, I think this is actually the best story of the entire tournament so far, because you have to consider, so they advanced to the Sweet 16. They beat three-seeded West Virginia. Buddy Boeheim, coach's son, Jim Boeheim's kid, scored 25 points in the 75-72 victory. It is Coach Boeheim's 20th trip to the Sweet 16. But consider, early on, you know, he's a junior now, but when he's a freshman, oh boy, nepotism, coach's son, you know, that spot should be going to somewhere else, right? And then against this backdrop, that's not the case anymore, but it was the case in the beginning. And against this backdrop, you think about what Coach Boeheim is known for. What would you say, like, tactically, strategically, it's a 2-3 zone, right? What are you really doing with that? What you're really doing, especially with college kids, is you're saying, okay, kids, do it when the lights shine brightest. Beat us from the outside. Hit those shots. Hit the threes from the outside. Do it with the like in a one-and-done tournament. And by the way, a lot of teams choke on that. I'm not saying that's the main, that's like his main strategy, but the way I see it, that's really what it comes down to. It was working again against West Virginia. They were choking. But you know who else was choking? Buddy Boeheim. He couldn't hit anything either in the first. And what happened? This is why it's such a great coach's kid, the whole thing. Jerry McNamara at halftime tells Jim Boeheim's kid, and I picked Syracuse to win the year that Carmelo Anthony was there. Everyone was saying TJ Ford was the best player in the country, and I'm on Around the Horn at the time. I'm the original host of this show. This is like 2002. And I'm watching a little college basketball going, wait, TJ Ford? No, Carmelo Anthony's the best player in the country. Syracuse got a good team. They're going to win the tournament. I picked Syracuse. But let me tell you something. No Jerry McNamara, Syracuse doesn't win that tournament. And Jerry McNamara tells the coach's kid, Buddy Boeheim, you just keep shooting. And he does. And it's a good thing because West Virginia wasn't going to miss the entire game. They came alive. They started hitting from the outside, but so did Buddy Boeheim. And Syracuse goes on to win. Here is Jim Boeheim on Mike Greenberg earlier today here on ESPN Radio on coaching his son.
I haven't told anybody this, so it's kind of a national first. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. It's the best thing I've ever done, but it's the hardest thing because you can't think about, he's my son. You have to think about, he's my two guard. What do we do with him? Is he got to come out of the game because he misses four or five straight shots?
This was contrary to what we just showed you on ESPN+. That was not the voice of Seth Greenberg, our basketball analyst, college hoops analyst, of course, but the voice of Jim Boeheim, the head coach of Syracuse. My bracket is completely busted. I did about three different brackets, and every time I put in a bracket, Raj would tell me, oh, we didn't get your bracket. I don't know what about it. So I'd have to do another bracket. I don't remember half the teams. I remember my final four. That was it. But my bracket's not looking good. I'm in the same company as I'm the same boat as most people who filled out a bracket at this point. And that's the point. This has been, I don't know if it's because we haven't had sports in so long and if that even really matters. I suppose it does matter. But this is the greatest opening weekend in tournament history, period. This is the best one. Because even without the backdrop of the pandemic, even without the fact that we're coming off a year where there was no tournament, right? Even without that, this would be a candidate for greatest opening weekend ever. It would certainly be a candidate. You have a one falling, you have a three falling, you have all kinds of powerhouses losing to Cinderella teams. It would be a candidate for no Duke, no Kentucky. It would be a candidate for greatest opening weekend ever. But particularly when you consider the fact that we didn't have a tournament last year, the fact that, look, let's be honest about, you know, South Park did a whole show about social distancing. I am not making light of the tragedy of over 500,000 Americans dead, nor am I making light of the economic devastation, businesses closed, and people really struggling. I'm simply talking about social distancing. Eric Cartman on South Park has a whole song about it. Social distancing. How much I love you and I need you. Social distancing. No one can, you know, people, kids didn't have to go to school and people, grown-ups didn't have to go to work. And there was like that part was kind of awesome in a way, right? You didn't have to deal with people. You could hang out in your pajamas all day. But what was the worst part about it, other than the sickness, devastation, death, and loss of income, right? Like, other than the really serious stuff, the worst part on a day-to-day basis for people who could avoid tragedy was, like, no sports. For the sports fans, it was like, oh, my God, there's nothing going on. The Michael Jordan documentary, which was awesome, The Last Dance, was like a sporting event because we didn't have anything to watch. It was like a live event. There was no shared experience. I bring this up sometimes. The Lakers make L.A. a city. Otherwise, L.A. doesn't have great mass transit. L.A. is a bunch of not even that connected suburbs, right? But the Lakers make it a city because everyone from all over, socioeconomic, everything comes to one place at one time, makes it a city. And sports like the Super Bowl, in certain ways, make us a country. Because especially with time shifting and in the digital age, social media age, clickbait age, you know, how many shared experiences are there where you know the whole country is doing this at the same time? The Super Bowl is one of them. The tournament's another. And we didn't have it for so long. And then to not only get it on this weekend, but to have it turn out like this dramatically, it's the greatest opening weekend in tournament history. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Peter Rosenberg, one-time WWE 24/7 champion. Hot 97, the Michael Kay Show on ESPN 98.7 FM, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline.
Hey.
Peter, there's a correct answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Who won the Raekwon Ghost versus battle?
You know, Max, I'm the number one guy who complains that the versus battles have gotten too chummy and not enough battle.
Yeah.
And then I was the first guy saying, I can't score this on Saturday. Yeah, yeah. I think that you're going to say the correct answer is Ghostface, but I think draw is probably fair.
I think draw is fair. But here's the thing about Ghost. And between Ghost and Ray, Ray has the best album. Cuban Lynx is probably the best record ever made. If someone said, like, you're on a desert island, you could take one record, I'm probably taking Cuban Lynx. And yeah. Ghost was on that record, of course, but I don't know if he has an album that messes with Cuban Lynx. I don't know if anyone does. Maybe War Report, CNN's first one, maybe. So I'm not, but Ghost is still making music. Peter, Ghost drops at least an album a year, and they're always my favorite album of the year. Like, he's still doing it. The dude has just too much flavor. Like, if you say it's a draw, but you have to pick, who's winning?
Probably Ghost, and for the reason you said. I mean, Ghostface, I am the guy who, in the conversations about the absolute greatest, which I believe, you know, is a tough conversation because there are people I absolutely love who get left out.
Yeah.
I'm the person who propels Ghost to deserving to be in the conversation with the greatest.
Well, he's my favorite of all time. Like, I if you want to talk about greatest, Jay got it. You really can't argue against Jay. But to me, it's not a scientific thing. This is not math. This is completely subjective. So Ghost is my favorite. If I had to take one person's catalog in the history of music, I'm probably taking Ghost.
Okay, but
here's my favorite.
And so the favorite thing is totally fair, and many people would have him there. But what I'm saying is, if there's a Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
In that room that has, it's like an impossible room to enter, that has Jay-Z and M and Rakim, and maybe Kendrick will be in there one day, and I believe they let Ghost into that room. That's how amazing I think he is. And you're right, it's the consistency. And by the way, yes, Ray is in a special room of his own, though. Ray's in the room of people who have perfect albums.
Perfect.
Like, there's only a handful of people who sit in that room. But Ghost has 4, 5, 6 albums that I love.
Dude, in the last 4, 5, 6 years, he has 4, 5, 6 albums that I love. Like,
dude, the guy's
he's unbelievable. We're talking about Versus with Peter Rosenberg here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Versus, where they get two rappers to battle, basically. But in this case, it was Ghost and Ray, who are basically the greatest rap team, at least since, I don't know, Run DMC. Like, they're probably my favorite duo of all time. And it did get a little bit chummy. It wasn't so much of a battle. But you know what my favorite part of the whole thing was, Peter? When Ghost disappears for like 15 minutes, like, come on, Ghost, what's going on? Can you take this in? And Ray's like, yo, where is this dude? He shows back up in like a white mink and does Holla, which is one of the most underrated songs in the history of hip-hop. God, I love that song. Didn't even do the whole thing.
I mean, well, Holla is, we talked about that this morning on Hot. Holla is such a brilliant record. There's no sample. Ghost just raps completely over the Delphonics, La La, I Love You.
Yeah.
Raps over the entire song. The vocals, no sample, nothing. They play the 45, and he raps over the entire thing. It's things like that that make him just, it's that, it's Max, I know you remember when Ghost used to walk around with the gold eagle.
Of course.
It's these things that he does, you know, like, you'll appreciate this. You know, there are fighters out there who pretend to be charismatic, whereas Mike Tyson just had to wear the black trunks. He was just doing it. To me, a lot of artists play rapper.
No.
Ghostface is the authentic thing.
Peter, that group had two of the most authentic rappers ever, which is Dirty and Ghost. And Dirty is gone, of course. But I'll tell you what. Holla, I mean, don't believe the kid. Listen, he sings his heart out. He really means that. All right, listen. We have to move on to sports. We can't just back it.
We have to, but we could do this for the rest of the show.
That's right.
We could do sports.
I don't know. It got me to download Triller. I mean, I'm watching Versus.
They got you, huh?
They did the job. I had to see it live. I was having family time. I was like, oh, wait, the Versus is coming up. My kids are like, Dad, you said you were going to do this. Be quiet.
Now, do your kids know Ghost and Ray? Have you put them on?
Yeah. They know Ghost because we're in the car, and they want to listen to Hamilton, and I have to find songs that are clean enough from Ghost. I know, okay, we just listened to 6 Hamilton songs. We're listening to Ghost now. You know, they're all girls. The oldest one is 12 years old. All right, listen. Here it is, Peter. Ready for this?
Sure.
Giants are going to win the NFC East. What say you?
No, 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 no. I don't believe that. I am very biased, but I believe that my Washington football team will win the NFC East.
Well, they have the best. They have the best defense. I picked Washington. By the way, this is how fluid this thing is, okay? I picked Washington last week. I thought Fitzmagic is a good enough quarterback, given the level of that defense, and considering the Cowboys' defense, that Washington would win. But Golladay really changes the dynamic of the Giants' offense. They get Saquon back. They have Golladay, who's a legit number one when he's on the field. They have Slayton, who may be also turning into a legit number one. Shepard's an excellent slot guy. They signed a real pro tight end in Rudolph. They already have a high upside guy, just bad hands, with Engram. And Saquon's the most dynamic running back I think I've ever seen. So, like, they have some talent on the offensive line now. They're going to draft more. And their defense is not as good as Washington's, but it's the second best in the division.
Yes.
I think they're the most well-rounded team. It comes down to, can Danny Dimes perform? Can he be a real quarterback?
This is where it gets really interesting. The addition of Golladay puts a target squarely on Daniel Jones's back to show that this year he's the guy. Because we've all seen things that we like about Daniel Jones. I mean, I don't think you can watch football if you watch it avidly and watch him and say, I don't see anything. No, you see it. He's got that. He has it. He has a short memory, a ton of confidence, a big arm. I don't know if you've ever met the kid. His hands are gigantic. He has these mitts. He has all these sort of intangible things. But he did not have a ton of options. Saquon's out the whole year. The receiving corps was cool. Engram cannot catch the ball, unfortunately. With Golladay, there is no reason why Daniel Jones should not be able to show us who he is.
Golladay, Saquon, and also an offensive line. Like, Andrew Thomas came on in the second half of the season. Pert showed some promise. Will Hernandez is talented. He hasn't developed yet. And they have draft picks to supplement the line. My issue was this with Daniel Jones. Without the threat of play action, like without Saquon there, you would think when he lost his basically he was immobile, right? He lost his mobility toward the end of the year. You would think he can read defenses well enough and throw well enough. At least that's how he was advertised, right? To still do something from the pocket. Without his mobility, he was an absolute sitting duck. He was worthless from the pocket. That's what worries me. But I suppose it won't be the case if he has his wheels, because he's a mobile quarterback. It's really, his game is a lot predicated on his mobility. And Saquon, the threat of Saquon Barkley and now a real number one option at wideout, I think will open things up. At the very least, we will find out about Daniel Jones this year. And hey, you know what, Peter? If it doesn't work out, because I'm picking the Giants to win, I'm just going to blame it on Gettleman. In fact, anything that goes wrong from now on in the world, I'm blaming on Gettleman. And that's just the way I can't take that. First of all, I hate the Boston accent.
It's the Boston accent, isn't it?
I hate it.
I knew it was the accent.
And you know something else, Peter? And this goes for de Blasio, and this goes, especially de Blasio, but it also goes for Bloomberg. At least Bloomberg had the decency as mayor of New York to pretend to root for the Yankees, right? Not to root for the Red Sox. De Blasio has the nerve to openly root for the Red Sox as mayor of New York? Out of the question.
It has not played well for him.
And this dude, get out of here with that. And this dude shows up on the Giants talking about quarterback? What the hell is a quarterback? What is it?
I know. It's for people who are listening who are not in New York, you have to understand how repellent the Boston accent is in sports in New York.
Yeah.
Like, it is something that is so synonymous with the Red Sox.
That's right.
That when you hear it, you instantly, even you're talking about a different sport, it doesn't matter. Whenever we have Gettleman, whenever we play clips of Gettleman, all I can think is about the old Jimmy Fallon skit. No, ma! Right. That's all I can think about when you hear Gettleman. And then on top of that, let's be honest, a lot of questions need to be answered about this football team. He hasn't made it easy for himself either.
Look, either Daniel Jones perform. If Daniel Jones is at least an average, or at this point, year three, should be a little bit of tick above average quarterback, the Giants, I believe, will win the division. They have enough other stuff. And how many years does Gettleman need? All right, quick. In less than a minute, Peter, LeBron is hurt. And by the way, watching the injury, I'm relieved by the prognosis right now, because that looked like a season ender when it happened. His knee went sideways. AD is still not back, right? And yet KD also, like, a lot of mystery with KD. Like, what's going on? The Nets are now, according to Vegas, favorites to win the whole thing. Should they be?
I think they should be. If LeBron's not at 100% and we don't know the future of AD, how can the most stacked big three of all time not be the favorites. The Nets are the favorites to win the whole thing, and they should be.
All right, you've answered the these questions that I posed to you admirably, because as you know, I have the answers, and I'm merely testing you to see how closely you... Hey, Peter, this is what I need you to do. Please do it live on the show today.
Okay.
You need to get Kay's reaction to the versus thing. Just make him say it. Like, Michael, even if you don't know, who do you think won, Ray or Ghost, and why?
Well, I need to hear it. I'll just tell you one thing on my way out. I was doing the show once from my parents' house,
yeah,
and my parents in their basement have a framed advertisement of when I hosted, I just got into New York, and I hosted Raekwon's Cuban Links 2 release party.
Uh-huh.
And it says, hosted by Diddy alongside Peter Rosenberg. So this is framed in my parents' house, okay? Kay sees the poster in the background that says Raekwon and goes, what is that, Rabbi Khan?
By the way, people, this is like Raekwon didn't cross over to popular culture as much. Meantime, everyone is named Raekwon. Other than the name Jalen, I think there have been more and Shaq maybe. There are Raekwons in college
Raekwons
football,
galore.
Basketball. Yeah, there are Raekwons. There's no such thing as a Raekwon before Ray came out.
I know. And yet so many people who are analyzing it have no idea where this name came from.
Right. Right, exactly. Well, it came from one of the greatest rappers ever, Ray, Cuban Links. Anyone who hasn't listened to Only Built for Cuban Links, the best album ever made. The great Peter Rosenberg, ladies and gentlemen, you hear him coming up here on ESPN Radio. You got to ask Kay about that battle.
I will get an answer, I promise.
Thank you, thank you.
All right. All right.
There he is on the Goodyear Hotline, Peter Rosenberg. Goodyear celebrating, celebrating something. Raj has the everything cleverly positioned. March deal days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. Find out who Julius Randle blamed for another Knicks heartbreaker. This weekend's UFC 260 is sure to be a can't-miss event. Every punch, kick, and knockout means so much more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. Boy, ain't that the truth. Get a little skin in the game. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of UFC, is giving you a shot at huge cash prizes for this week's fight. DraftKings is offering all players a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes if you haven't tried it yet. Fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about basketball and hockey, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs throughout the week. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code MAX to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code MAX to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Another heartbreaker for the Knicks.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Did the Knicks get jobbed by the refs? Again! It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Still alive in your bracket? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. Knicks lose a heartbreaker in overtime. You know what Ben Simmons' record is against the Knicks? Raj, my producer, Brendan, the board op. Guys, what do you think Ben Simmons' record lifetime against the Knicks is? What would you guess?
Well, since they won two close ones today, it's been in the league, 4 years? So they played four times a year. How about 14-0?
It was 14-0. Brendan, it was 14-0. What do you think it is, Brendan? Who's smarter than Raj? Let's play Who's Smarter Than Raj.
So you're saying it was 14-0.
Yeah. Come on.
We need music.
We're in base 10, Brendan. It was.
I don't know. What is it now? What do you mean?
It's 15-0.
Oh, I was close. I won.
15-0.
Oh, my God. He can only beat me. Brendan is only smarter than me.
I can't take on Raj.
He can't take on. You got a psychological whammy on him or something. I don't know what it is. He hears he's facing me and he's never been smarter. I just asked him what's 14 plus 1. He's like, I'm not sure. Do you want me to subtract it or multiply it? I don't get it.
I was like, is this a trick question?
Yes, it was a trick question. All right. Look, he's 15-0 against the Knicks. The Knicks are competing against good teams. Even without Embiid, the Sixers are a good team. They're competing. And, they're not a good team, but they're not a bad team either. They're a hardworking 500-ish NBA team, the Knicks. And considering how low the bar is for this franchise, because Jim Dolan has systematically lowered your expectations. And Knicks fans like the abuse, apparently, because you hear Knicks fans stick up for James Dolan against me, the voice of the people, a man of the people. Oh, they get vicious about Jim Dolan. They're protecting him for some reason. But at any rate, you know, look, they're a scrappy 500-ish team. They're usually not going to be teams like the Sixers. Randall forced the overtime with a three-pointer near the end of regulation. He was called for what he thought was a blown call and a bleeping, ridiculous loose ball foul away from the play, leading to go-ahead free throws by Tobias Harris in the closing seconds. I mean, the Knicks could have easily won that game, and it would have been a big win, but you know, it's kind of like you ever see an NFL defense and they have a bunch of takeaways, like a bunch of interceptions, and you think, well, that's going to regress to the mean. You know, a lot of times the ball's loose and one team comes away with it a bunch of times. That's going to regress to the mean, meaning that they're not going to have as many interceptions every year. And so if they won a couple games because of the turnover disparity, then you got to be careful liking that team the same way the next year, right? That's probably going to go away. These very, very close games the Knicks are losing, it's not about regressing to the mean. Hey, they're going to win some of them too. It's that they're a team on the rise. So when these players develop a little bit more, when the Knicks add a piece or two, they're going to win. They're going to be winning these close games, and there have been a bunch of them. The Knicks are not a good team. They're not a bad team, but they're not a good team. But they're pretty close to being a pretty good team. And they're, by the way, not expected to do anything major ahead of Thursday's NBA trade deadline, according to SNY's Ian Begley. You remember, there's a lot of that Lonzo Ball talk. And Lonzo, look, would be great on the Knicks. He's a great floor. He has great court vision, great passing ability. He can rebound. He can defend on the perimeter. He shoots a ton of threes nowadays, 7 or 8, and hits almost 40% of them. 7 or 8 a game, hitting almost 40%. That's pretty damn good. So, but it doesn't look like there'll be any kind of Lonzo Ball even level move for these Knicks. As I said, look, the last 4 games decided by 10 points, but they're only 1-3, and the win came against the Magic. I did think that was a big win against the Magic, though. I know it sounds funny, but as I keep saying, the Sacramento game before the All-Star break, they're a game under 500. Sacramento's coming to the Garden. They're a bad team. You must beat that team to get to 500 instead of fall 2 games back, if you want a shot at the playoffs or the play-in game even. Same thing with the Magic game. I don't expect them to beat the Sixers or the Nets. I do expect for the Knicks to defend home court against teams like the Magic, and they did that. Right now, they're at 500, sixth best in the Eastern Conference. Miami Heat, Charlotte Hornets, Boston Celtics, all around the 500 mark. And we know which way the Hornets are going to go, especially now without Melo Ball, whose season is over on a freaky-deaky kind of, like, it looked like a nothing kind of play that he wound up hurting his thumb like that. But that's it for them. You know, the Heat and the Celtics are better than the Knicks. They will finish with a better record. But one of the teams in the mix is now not going to be in the mix, most likely. And that's good for the Knicks. Charlotte not in the mix is good for the Knicks. I'm going to get in a versus battle over here. Ricky in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I was wondering what team might be a potential landing spot for LaMarcus Aldridge, and what might the Spurs get if they trade him since the deadline is coming up?
Yeah, you know, you look around at like a team like Portland, where once he was a big deal and could use some, you know, talent in the front court, maybe a fit there. The issue with LaMarcus Aldridge has always been he had an offensive game from a bygone era. If LaMarcus Aldridge could shoot from the outside the way he could score from mid-range, he'd have been a great player instead of just a very good one. I don't know. I don't know what it's funny. These things keep changing. Like, the Knicks were supposed to be real buyers at the deadline, and it changed overnight. And they also... they don't do exactly the same thing, but Portland does now have a guy in Carmelo Anthony who does some of the same stuff that LaMarcus Aldridge used to do for them. but at this point in his career, maybe even a little better. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, good show. This is a great bunch of games. Pac-12 is looking good. We could have four in the Sweet 16.
Yep.
What do you think about USC going all the way?
I don't see USC going all the way. I do think the Pac-12 is really, like, the Big Ten, not so much, but the Pac-12 is looking really good, really good. Scoring upsets, not losing. Pac-12 getting slept on in the tournament, for sure. All right, they gave Danny his weapons. Any more excuses for the Giants? Women's History and celebration of Women's History Month. Pay tribute to Black Queens on The Undefeated on ESPN+. Explore the athletes and coaches who have defied expectations and inspired others. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN+. By the way, sad news today. Just in the last 10 minutes, Elgin Baylor, one of the all-time greats, like if you were to take there's not an exact number, 15, 16, 17, 20, but if you were to take the top tier of all-time greats, Elgin Baylor is in it. He's one of the guys who is different from everyone else, like the early version of Michael Jordan or Dr. J. Lakers legend, never won a championship, but was in a bunch and was a 10-time All-NBA first teamer. The best at his position, 10 years out of a 14-year career. And Elgin Baylor, Lakers superstar, passed away today. I learned about this during the commercial break. It's a very sad day, and not least because when I was thinking about who I'd really want to hear from today about this, Dr. Buss is gone. The Laker who most kind of occupied the similar niche to Elgin Baylor in his day, but was a bigger championship winner, obviously, but had was in that same kind of lineage in terms of style, was Kobe Bryant. Would have loved to talk to Kobe today about it, and that brought that home, too. Just a sad day. But Elgin Baylor, the great Elgin Baylor, passed away today at the age of, I think it was 86. Anyway, we're going to get into that in the second hour of the show. Right now, we're going to get back to some Giants football. Any more excuses for Daniel Jones? They're going to fortify the offensive line. They drafted an offensive lineman in the first round in Andrew Thomas. Will Hernandez is a second rounder. You got to develop these guys too, it's true. Pert is a third rounder. They like him too. They have some talent on the offensive line. As I said, they'll fortify it. Nate Solder is coming back. Spent a lot of money on him. He's at least a competent offensive lineman, starter, you know, whether or not he's a left tackle anymore. At any rate, he should have better protection than recently. Saquon Barkley's coming back, the most dynamic running back I've ever seen. That should help Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones should be over his leg issues last year. His mobility should help him. His third year in the league should help him. And Kenny Golladay, of course, a number one receiver to go with Slayton, who may also be a number one receiver, but certainly is a deep threat. Sterling Shepard, who's a real good slot guy. Evan Ingram is a talent at tight end, who is just a hand. He has problems catching the ball, but he's certainly a threat. Kyle Rudolph is a real tight end. You know, like, Daniel Jones is everything he needs on offense. And then defensively, the Giants are an ascending team. They're the most well-balanced team in the NFC East right now. And the question is, can Daniel Jones become an above-average quarterback in his third season? I will remind everyone, once upon a time, this was his fourth season, but there was a high New York Giants draft pick, quarterback, coming off a bad year when the team added a very talented wideout to be their number one in Plaxico Burress. The rest is history. They won the Super Bowl. Eli drafted in 04. They won the Super Bowl 07. Now, Eli had an extra year. And Daniel Jones wasn't taken first overall. And I like Golladay a lot. I don't think he's Plaxico Burress. But Eli also didn't have Saquon Barkley. Daniel Jones has plenty right now, and he seems to have a good coach. We got to find out right now what Daniel Jones is about. 11 touchdowns, 10 interceptions ain't going to cut it. Year one, he was promising. Year two, it's an interdependent game in terms of positions, but Daniel Jones did not show me development. Now, as I said, no Barkley. Offensive line wasn't great. Didn't have a lead wide out. All that's true. You got that stuff now. At a certain point, no excuses. I'm picking the Giants to win the NFC East. It's in flux. Like, let's see what happens after the draft. But when Dallas signed Dak, you thought, ooh, they have an advantage. Fitzpatrick to Washington, given Washington's defense, you think, okay, that might be enough to make Washington the favorites. But given Galladay and Rudolph and Saquon coming back and Solder coming back and draft capital to work with, this is the make it or break it year for both Daniel Jones and Dave Gettleman and his horrible Boston accent. 888-SAY-ESPN. Gabe in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Go.
Hi, Max. I just wanted to talk about the 76ers and Knicks game last night. I was really interested in, you know, Julius Randle's three-pointer with 5 seconds left. I was wondering if you thought it was an offensive foul. He kind of shoved off Tobias Harris. I just wanted to hear what you think. And do you think the Lakers are going to finish top five seeds now since LeBron is out?
I think it's ticky-tack to call that an offensive foul. What was the Lakers question?
Do you think they'll finish top five seed now since LeBron out?
No, I don't. And also, I don't want to alarm Lakers fans, but maybe I am sounding the alarm. That LeBron play looked worse than people's reactions to it so far. Everyone's assuming LeBron will come back. He's out indefinitely. Oh, he'll be back. That looked bad to me. His knee moved sideways. And I am hoping that the kind of calm about it is justified and that both LeBron and AD come back. Because when I hear stuff like Schroeder is going to have to set everybody up from Vogel, I'm thinking these guys ain't going nowhere without LeBron and AD. Coming up, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.